For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Really, it is good and wonderful for the brethren to come together and to partake of the Word of God, which is our necessary food spiritually. So let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you today. We thank you that we have the Word of God in our hands, that we can read, that we can partake of, that we can put into our heart. And I pray this morning, as we learn about living a believing Christian life in this present world, that we have impacted upon our heart the things that you would have us to know, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning we're looking at living soberly, righteously and godly. So we have to understand that how we live as Christians is very, very important. Very important. And it's living as a Christian not just when someone is watching you. Now, the fact is that there is someone watching you all the time, and that is the Lord and the angels of the Lord. And there's also the enemies of God. They're all watching you as well. So never think that you're not being watched. The fact is, though, there are people all around us that desperately need the Lord. They're in darkness, they're in blindness. Those without Christ, they're blind and they're in darkness. And one of the only witnesses that they might have in their life is you as a born-again Christian. Now, if they see that you're doing all the things exactly as anyone else in the world would do, they see no distinction. They think, well, what's the difference? And in fact, I'm even more in a better place than they. So there has to be a distinct difference between Christians who are following the pure religion and those who are not Christians, and particularly those who we have interaction with on a daily or weekly basis or a regular basis. Let's have a look at Luke 12. Jesus told a parable here in Luke 12, a very important parable, because it shows the type of people we meet up with all the time. And Luke 12, verses 15 to 23. So starting from verse 15 of Luke 12, this is what we read. This is Jesus speaking, and he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." So covetousness is this strong desire for things you don't have. It's a lust. Jesus is saying, beware of that. All around us, the whole world, in fact, is going and revolving around covetousness, the love of money. But a lot of people, they tend to think in that framework, and specifically those outside of the Christian walk, they think in the framework of, oh, I need to get money, 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 and I need to have that for my retirement, so that I can do whatever I like for 20, 30 years, and then comes death. And you know, you ask them what comes after death, it's like a great mystery to them. Hence the need for the gospel to enlighten them. Isn't that right? Now, Jesus said a very important statement here. He says, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself. Okay, so people thinking within themselves. Yeah. Justifying things, thinking things all the time within themselves. But is God in their thoughts? Let's see whether God was in this man's thoughts. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no fruit, where to bestow, no room where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." That sounds a lot like people of today, doesn't it? For many years I've been working away and storing in my bank account and whatever. I have all this in my superannuation, storing. I'm going to take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry for the next few years. Well, there's even people who say, "I want to retire early. I want to get out of the rat race early, so I can do what I want to do. What I want to do." You see, you meet up with these people all the time. You know, I talked to someone just this week, and their retirement pension is greater than my salary, my yearly salary. Their pension. And they're getting another job as well. So on top of their pension, here's a person you would have to call is rich. What are they saying? They're saying exactly what I'm pointing to in verse 19. "I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods," we could say even superannuation, "laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Now, there's nothing wrong with superannuation, nothing wrong with savings. Don't get me wrong. But remember what Jesus said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Okay, so but this is the way people that are living outside of Christ are thinking. Jesus has given us an insight into the way they're thinking here. I mean, how did Jesus know what this man was thinking within himself? Verse 17, "And he thought within himself." How did Jesus know that? I mean, when Jesus told a parable, it was always true, remember? He never told any lies. It was always true. Okay, he said a certain rich man. So a certain rich man did exist. And Jesus had insight into his thoughts. Can you see that? So we see the fact that Jesus, God, has insight into our thinking as well. So please look at your own life. What am I thinking about mostly? What am I in my life thinking about? What is my thought life centered on? We see what this man's thought life was centered on: his goods, his abundance. He wanted to, you know, goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But there's a great but, isn't there? Because this man had no concept of God, no concept of spirituality, no concept of eternity. It should remind us, 99% of the people we currently meet with are exactly like this. If you're not born again, you are blind and in darkness, and you stumble in the darkness. That's the reality. That is the reality. So 99% of people you meet up with and interact with are not Christians in the born again sense, and they're thinking along the lines of the natural almost completely. Now, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So first in our thinking and our manner of life is to be the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All right, so there's a big but, an eternal but, verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So God sees people who leave him out of their lives, in their thinking, in their actions, who live as though God doesn't exist. He calls them fools. Fools, it's a strong word, but it's an absolutely accurate word. So God is saying this, thou fool. Thou fool. He also calls those that say in their heart there is no God fools. He also says that people are without excuse if they look at creation and can't come to a conclusion that God exists. No excuse? Fools? This is the side, this is what we're living in, okay? We're living in that. We're going to look in more detail about it in a minute. So verse 20 says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. In other words, there is an end to your life and there is an eternal consequence. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know, you won't be considering about your goods laid up, your superannuation or whatever. Verse 21, now this is a crucial one for us. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, notice, for himself, and is not rich toward God. Now, rich toward God is all about attitude. Okay, all about how is our life inclined towards. If it's all about abundance and me, 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 because you can see this man was saying, I will do this, I will, and so on, and my, etc. If it's all about that, then you're way off track. Because our life is in Christ now. It's in Christ. So our life is in Christ. Look at Titus 2, and we'll look at verses 11 to 15 in Titus 2. We'll look at verses 11, verse 15. Now, you know, I have a lot of interaction with the heathen. Sometimes there are opportunities to speak a certain amount. Other times, no opportunities whatsoever. The door is closed completely, even by their own admission. But verse 11 of Titus 2 tells us something that's crucial for us to understand. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Hath appeared to all men. I thought about this. That means that all men, God's grace has appeared to. And I thought about that no excuse thing, and God is wanting and does give opportunities for people to believe and to take hold of things. But a lot of times people justify God's interaction away completely. So the grace of God, his mercy, his favour, his love towards us that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Hath appeared to all men. And that grace is teaching us something. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live, how should we live? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So we're in this present world. There is a way we should live according to the scripture here. We should live soberly. When I think of soberly, I think of thinking correctly. A lot of people you think of soberly and immediately go to the alcohol. You know, that's part of it. You know, we should not be into that, because alcohol clearly affects the mind and gives entrance to the enemy. So soberly is talking about thinking correctly, thinking right. Now, what is your thought life currently on? Is it mainly centered on the Lord and his things? Or is it centered on like what we saw with that man and the storage places? Me, I, and this is what I want, and, you know, doesn't matter what other people want, doesn't matter. I forget the church. Certainly that's got to be, take the back burner. A lot of people say that. But what is God saying? Live soberly, righteously. That means in upstanding right way that God wants us to be. The only way we can be conformed to the image of Christ is to have his word. And we do have his word. And to be people of the word. Okay? The title that Jesus has for himself, Word, the Word, capital W, is no coincidence. It means that God's nature is reflected in his word. Pure, holy, accurate. Okay? All of that is reflected in Christ. And if you're in Christ and want to live like Christ, you're not going to be wanting to live or conform to the world. We are strangers and pilgrims in this world. And godly. How should we live? We should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Godly. In my observations, I've seen people who've called themselves Christians swearing, lying, saying the wrong things amongst the heathen, pretending, etc., etc., stealing. You might say, what? Yes, all of that and more, much more. I'm not going to go through an exhaustive list. What does this say? What does this say? It says that there is not enough of this understanding about how we should live. Godly people do not conform to the world to try to be relevant to the world. I'll conform to the world, doesn't matter if I drink a bit or swear a bit or get tattooed a bit or, you know, lust a bit. No. What does it say in verse 12? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. So we do have to deny things. We have to say, no, that's not for me. That's not for me. I'm not going to get into the ungodliness. I heard a faith preacher say, and it's quite correct, you know, we can only go so far in our interactions with the world. And then if the world says, oh, come on, let's have a drunken time over here, you say, no, we can't go. We can't go along with that. Okay? We can't go along with that type of thing. So we obviously have to interact with people in the world. There's no getting around that. We certainly have to present and preach the gospel to people in the world, and that will be more and more what this church does. We're not going to be less and less. Individually, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should not be known as people that are lustful or ungodly. And if people do know you like that and you're professing to be a Christian, you need to repent. It's as simple as that. And say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for that. Please, I am sorry for doing that. Because I should be living soberly, righteously and godly in this present world. So whereas that man that we saw was not looking at eternal things. What should we be looking for? In verse 13 it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. So see who we're looking for? The longer I go in the Christian walk, the more the world becomes dim to me, and the more yearning I have to see Christ's return, Christ's kingdom established everywhere. Verse 14, what a wonderful God he is. It says, who gave himself for us. The complete opposite of what we read about that other fellow who, you know, didn't care about anyone. Jesus cared about everyone. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know that term peculiar? I think it's an important word. I think we should be very happy that that word is there, because the world will look at us and think, well, they're peculiar. They don't want to go out drinking or smoking or swearing or lusting or doing this or doing that or sitting at the table, at our table, whilst we're gambling the night away. They don't seem to want to do that. They're peculiar. They're strange. That's true. That's true. That is true. But it doesn't mean we don't love them. It doesn't mean that we don't want to reach out to them. It's just that they're blind and they're in darkness and they need the glorious gospel to come in. They need to understand that Jesus has redeemed us from all iniquity and purified unto himself a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. Zealous is another good work. Another good word, I should say. Zealous. It's not our Christian walk is ho-hum another day. No, zealous. That means that your thinking is full of Christ, is full of the Word, is full of his ways. Your actions are going forward in God's things, because it talks about zealous of good works. Going, as Christ said, the extra mile, going above and beyond what you might have been asked to do. Showing, you see, we are to be thankful. The Bible says, be ye thankful. We are to be people that are so thankful for what Christ has done. And that's what it says in verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. What I've just said, just gone through there, a lot of people would despise that. They'd think, no, we've got to be relevant. Our services have to be like rock concerts. We've got to be relevant to the world. No, we're supposed to be peculiar people. You know? we're different. We're going to be different. We have to be different and seen to be different. Look at Proverbs 4. Go back to Proverbs 4, verses 14 to 19. God has good things for his people. Proverbs 4, start from verse 14. So the question is, how do we live in this present world? It shouldn't be comfortable for you. This isn't your home as such, your permanent eternal home. Okay, you're a stranger and a pilgrim. It shouldn't be comfortable. Doesn't mean that God can't bless you and prosper you. He is, and he will. But notice what it says, starting from verse 14, go to verse 19 of Proverbs 4. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Now, look, in the general category, those outside of Christ are in the wicked category, okay? That's because they're dead in trespasses and sins. So it's not just talking about, oh, they're very wicked over there, and, oh, I wouldn't, you know, they're like the bikies, and no, this is people that are outside of Christ. Enter not into that path. Go not in that way. Verse 15, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. There's another scripture that says, flee fornication. There are things we should be avoiding, fleeing, keeping away from. You understand what I'm saying? You know, when I earlier in life, I could sit through, you know, films that were full of profane things. Now I can't do it. I just can't do it. And praise the Lord, I see that as a sign that I have been sanctified, that there's been some progression. Should be the same for all of us. So avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. Verse 16, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. How many people in the world do you know that are trying to convince people to go the Christian way? How many people? Very few, if any. Right. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. There's a big but here. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So we are just. We are in that category of being justified, made righteous, redeemed by the blood of Christ. We are people who have a path to follow, to walk. And that should be as a shining light. It should be getting better and better, not worse and worse. If it's getting worse and worse, you might be in the wrong place. There are people whose Christianity seems to have gone down. Many people. They need to come out of where they are, if that's the case. Get fed with the Word of God, if they're truly born again. Because the light of God's Word enters in and will change you and will mould you and bring you into line as long as you approach it by faith, as long as you believe it. So it says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. See, Jesus said you can't, you know, hide a candle under a bushel. You can't, you shouldn't be trying to hide your light. But it'll shine more and more and more. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as what? Darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Darkness. Darkness. They know not at what they stumble. There's the lack of knowledge. Imagine if you're in a room that's completely dark. Can you see properly? You can't, can you? Are people without Christ seeing things properly? No, they're not. It is a bad state they're in. But we are not in that state. We are people that are just, justified, made right. We are righteous. Not from our own works, of course, but through what Christ has done. And thereby we walk in Christ and do the works that God wants us to do. The Bible says we're being created unto good works. So to do those. So if your life, your path is as a shining light, it should be getting greater and greater. You don't want to come to the end of your life And I've seen this. I've seen people who profess to be Christians have come to the end of their life and it's just like they're in total darkness. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. But it should be shining more and more unto the perfect day. Well, the perfect day will be when you meet up with Christ face to face. Praise the Lord. The way of the wicked is as darkness, darkness, darkness. So you have light in your life. That's good. That's good news. You have light. You don't have to stumble. You've got light. You've got direction. You know how to live. Have a look at Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. You know, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they'd been slaves there for a long period of time. When they came out of Egypt, Moses led them out. They came into the wilderness. And there was all types of complaining and looking back and saying, oh, we were better off in Egypt. But see, that's all selective memory. They weren't better off in Egypt. They were slaves. And Hebrews 10 addresses a little bit of that type of mentality. How are we to live? Soberly. That means thinking right, thinking correctly, thinking clearly, thinking clearly, so that as we're going forward, we understand that we are people of light, not darkness. We're not walking in darkness, we're walking in light. And so we're living soberly, righteously and godly. So Hebrews 10, 38 and 39 says, now the just, now we saw the scripture talked about the path of the just. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So that tells us that drawing back is anti-faith. Because without faith it's impossible to please God, according to Hebrews 11. So we know that God wants us to live by faith and go forward so that our path is shining brighter more and more. In other words, everything's getting better more and more. More and more. You should be able to look back to the beginning of your Christian walk and to now compare it, and it should be better. It should be better, much better. If it's not, you need to ask the question, why? You say, why? Well, it might be this type of thing. You've drawn back, or you haven't been thinking soberly, or you haven't been living righteously, or you haven't been living godly amongst the heathen. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You want God to have pleasure in you. If you're a servant of God, you want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you want to hear. But you've got to live by faith to do that. Verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. We don't look, you know, at our lives back then and said, well, you know, it was really nice then, you know. Before I was a Christian, I had all of this and I had 50 million friends and on my social media account, etc. No, it's an exaggeration. But you're looking back. You're saying, oh, this, this and this. You can't do it in God. Because no matter what you had in the world, you have infinitely more better when you're in the light in Christ. Yep, that's what you should be saying as a Christian, I tell you. I often think, you know, if I had died prior to the age of 18, I would be in hell. Because I wasn't a Christian. So it's infinitely more better to be in Christ. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The soul is the mind, will, and emotions, so that you can think properly, believe properly. We believe to the saving of the soul. In other words, it's getting better. It's not going backwards. It's not thinking incorrectly. It's getting better. Better. And I want to finish with James 4, verse 4. Lest you do think the world has something to offer. The world is made up of those who are without Christ and have the God of this world, little g, it's a spiritual ruler, God of this world ruling over them. That's Satan. James 4 verse 4. This is what he says to those who want friendship of the world. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's pretty strong language. You know, we know, and we've quoted it many times, in Romans 12 verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what you want in your life, the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. And know that. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we see that being a friend of the world, if you're that, you're putting yourself as an enemy of God. There's no neutral position here. If you're a true Christian, you're automatically in the peculiar people category, in the stranger and pilgrim category. Automatically. Okay? And you know you don't fit in the world. Yes, you may as well live as a peculiar person in the world. That peculiar person prays an hour a day. That peculiar person goes to church on Sundays. Oh, I like to sleep in on Sundays. What a peculiar thing to do. But God wants us to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Praise the Lord Jesus. And not be a friend of the world. I don't want to be an enemy of God, do you? No. I want to be known as a friend of God. Just like Abraham. We're the children of Abraham. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful salvation provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. You have made us people that are truly unique, that are truly graced and blessed. And yes, we do stand out, but Lord, we ask that as we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this world, that we do your will. In the name of Jesus. Help every person here, Lord, I ask, to not only see the importance of this, but to also take hold of your strength to live in this way. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.